Good morning, Bridge City Church. How's everybody doing this morning? Y'all doing good? Awesome. Well, if I haven't had the opportunity to introduce myself yet, I'm Pastor Nick. I'm the campus pastor here at the White Oak campus of Bridge City Church, and I'm so excited you decided to spend your Sunday morning here with us worshiping God and praising His name. We have an amazing morning plan for you today. We're continuing our series this morning entitled, You Asked For It. But before we do that, I have a couple things that I want to communicate. Number one, thank you to our amazing worship team for what they do week in and week out. And we have four locations at Bridge City Church, but we're one church in those four locations. And this morning we had our drummer from our Murraysville location with us. That's Don Frame. So thank you for coming over and being with us. And also, I just wanted to say thank you to all the people that prayed this morning. Those individuals didn't just pray because they were asked to. Those individuals are people that have a heart for prayer. And they're praying for you all week in and week out. And they're actually, those people are here praying most of the time, 7:30 in the morning, praying and believing for what God's going to do during this time. And last week, they shared with me that everything that they prayed for happened. Everything that they prayed for and believed was going to happen during the Sunday morning worship experience happened. And I'm believing that that same thing's going to happen today. They pray for people to meet Jesus. They pray for people to be healed. They pray for people to experience God in a new way. They pray for people to receive clarity for things that are going on for their life, in their life, and circumstances to change and perspectives to change. And I believe that that's going to happen today. And I'm so excited for what God's going to do. And we're going to continue the You Asked For It series today. And last week we discussed Genesis 3 and how the fall of man is the reason that we get to ask a lot of the questions that we ask. And we discussed that that is the reason that we're in a lot of the predicaments that we're in. And we don't like that answer, but we're there. 84 responses. 84 people asked a bunch of questions. And we're going to tackle some of them today. And I'm not going to do that alone, but I'm going to bring up the man, the myth, the legend. Some of you haven't met him yet, but you're going to meet him in a moment. And his name is Pastor Ben Kendrew, our executive pastor. He's at our North Braddock campus. He's like, come on up, Pastor Ben. I'm excited that you're with us this morning. And I'm excited that you are drinking Diet Turner's tea with me this morning as well. Not just water.
I love it. This is a wonderful treat. I was not expecting that.
Yeah. You want to have a seat with
Let's
me?
Have a seat.
Let's have a seat together.
Up the cafe.
But
here.
At the cafe that we're with. But, you know, first, tell people where you're from.
I'm the executive pastor at Bridge City Church. I typically will be at the North Braddock campus, but I kind of float wherever I'm needed. And North Braddock is where I am with Pastor John. But it is, how about Pastor Nick, right? It's great to see you up here. And I love this guy, so it's an honor to be here this morning.
It's an honor to have you, sir. Yeah. It's an honor. Your wife and daughter will be here for the second.
Yeah, second service, yep.
Second worship experience. We're excited for that. But let's launch with our scripture that we're launching with every week. I'll read it for us. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All scripture. Let's say all scripture together. Here we go.
All scripture.
Not some of it, not a little bit. Not picking and choosing, but all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Not just some good work, not just a little bit, not just when you feel like it, but every good work. All scripture, 66 books of scripture, 39 in Hebrew in the Old Testament, 27 in Greek in the New Testament. All of it, every bit of it. We don't pick and choose, right?
That's right. No, it's all scripture, all scripture.
And I love it.
Whole thing.
It doesn't just contain the words of God. It is the word of God.
It is the word of God. Yeah, and that idea of God breathed, you know, if you take the words God, I mean, Theo is God breathing, and the word breathe means pneuma, which God breathed into Scripture, all of them, right? And then we have this idea that God breathed into Scripture, gave them life, right? And then there's this revelation that comes, right? There's all these different authors that we were just mentioning, that different themes and different times and different parts of history. But God breathed into those writers and used that and revealed his truth to them. And he used each of these writers to communicate his truth. And then there's the inspiration, which is the recording of those revelations that God, and that's how we get the Bible, all scripture, yeah. Right, Pastor Nick? So I think that's a good spot for us to kind of jump in.
Yeah, and what we're supposed to do with it. Like, we have this book, we have everything that God's given us, and we're supposed to do something with it. We're not supposed to just sit in our prayer closets and sit at our connection groups and have a book. We're not just supposed to have a book club. We're supposed to do something with it. The Bible was given to us so that we can use it and become fully devoted followers of Jesus. That we use this book to become fully devoted followers of Jesus, and we will grow. We will use the Word of God to grow and continue to have faith and seek Him and understand Him more. He gave us His Word so that we could understand Him more. As I grow older, I want to know more about my natural father. I wish he was here so I could know more about him. I wish that he was. Hey, when I was 5, what did you think? What did you do? Because I want to know that. Because I want to know more. But now, as I grow older in God, in my relationship with him, I want to know more about him. So how do I do that? We have 3 easy steps. I feel like I'm in an infomercial right now. 3 easy steps.
3 easy steps?
3 easy steps. Yeah, and so you start with, yeah, for $19.99.
Well, you start with the foundation of Scripture, and that's our hope, as we said last week. We want to begin with Scripture. That's where we should begin as fully devoted followers of Christ. And our worldview is through the lens of Scripture. So we want to begin with Scripture, and that's the great place. Then that moves us into striving to be teachable, right? For us as believers, we should be some of the smartest, most hungry people on the earth to know who God is. And the best way to do that is to be hungry
Absolutely.
For His Word.
100%.
And to be hungry to know Him more. And so to be striving to be teachable and then submitting to the Holy Spirit. And I would say, Pastor Nick, that's the tough part.
Yeah.
Is really submitting, letting go of control of our lives.
Yeah.
And submitting to all those areas for the Holy Spirit to move and move among us.
I'm just smiling because I'm thinking of your favorite saying.
Oh.
It's so easy. I haven't known Pastor Ben real long, but I have this amazing gift to discover people's pet peeves. And Pastor Ben loves when people say, let go and love God.
Let go, let God.
Let go.
Let go, let God.
Let go, yeah, let. So if you see him, just say, let go, let God, yeah. Pastor Ben. Just let go, let God.
Yeah, there's more to it, I think, than just that.
There is. But that's striving. People, Pittsburghers especially, know how to try harder. You know, they know, I'm just going to white knuckle it. But that letting go part's hard for us.
Right.
It's hard for us to submit and just let the Holy Spirit lead us and guide us sometimes.
Yeah.
It really is. And listen, before we get started with our questions today, I want us to understand the court that we're playing on. And we talked about this last week, the tennis courts. There's 3 courts that we're going to be talking about today. Number 1 is doctrine. We're going to play on the court of doctrine. Is it the Word of God? The second one is personal conviction and experience. You may have a personal conviction that causes you to dictate your life in a certain way, and that is okay. The third one is a community standard. We have community standards within our homes. We have community standards within Bridge City Church. And we have community standards within the communities that we live in or the circles that we are a part of. And those are the courts that we're going to be speaking about today. So as we go into our questions.
Yeah, the first question we have is, it's amazing. We had over 84 questions submitted. 84, that's amazing. So today our question, first one says, I would like to hear more on Bridge City Church's doctrine on women serving in ministry as pastors. And I think that's an important as pastors to define. So, and you know, we go to the New Testament context, the word pastor is found there, but it is not the word pastor for when in terms of in the context of women is not found in the Old Testament. So one of the Old Testament roles, women served in significant roles. And some examples for that would be Miriam, who served there, and Deborah, and Esther, who's, you know, that story of Esther is amazing. But they all served in significant roles and contributed to the advancement of God's kingdom. But within the New Testament, no women were called pastors, and I put the quotes around there, pastors. They were not called that, but we have a biblical example of Priscilla, who was a co-laborer with her husband in a little small church there that met in their home.
So let's read scripture. Let's go to the Bible. Okay, 1 Timothy 2, 12 through 14. This is the Bible. So what court are we playing on? Doctrine. Here we go. I do not let women teach men or have authority over them. Let them listen quietly. For God made Adam first, and afterward he made Eve. And it is not Adam who was deceived by Satan. The woman was deceived, and sin was the result. Being under authority seems to be the message here. Mm-hmm. In public worship and in meeting. We live in a culture where it's continued to be, over the last 50 years, there's no difference between men and women. And we get confused in society. And we get really skewed. And that word submit is a hot topic word. It makes people angry. It makes people get really quiet. It makes a pin drop. And Paul's communicating a chain of authority here, or the order of Jesus' church. And I want to make it very clear. In no way, shape, or form are women subservient at all. No way.
Yeah.
Not at all. In God, it does not mean that women are under men at all in the church. Not one bit. Not at all. So let's go to Pastor Ben now with doctrine and authority. What do we see with Ephesians 4:11 with gifts in the church?
Yeah, I think there's a function. I think the word function is important. Like what was the women's role as a function within the New Testament, right? And so in Ephesians, we have that passage where Christ gave gifts to the church, the apostles, prophets, and evangelists, and teachers. But there's a difference between it, someone who is in the position of the fivefold ministry, fivefold ministry, or so on, right? So there's this difference, I think, the role that women have. Like we said in Priscilla, she was a co-worker with Paul. She helped Paul. She had a significant a function within the ancient church, right? She was a co-worker with them. So we could not function without, at Bridge City Church, without certain women within the church, and that's obvious, right?
Absolutely.
And then we have Phoebe, right, who was a deaconess in the early church as well. She worked there. She did many different things to help God, and she would help in whatever was needed. She helped in so many different ways, even within that church. And then with the other one that I, you know, as we were talking about this, Pastor Rick mentioned the four daughters who prophesied in Acts 21, 7 through 9. It says, a day went on to Caesarea. They stayed at the home of Philip the evangelist, one of seven men who had been chosen to distribute food, and said he had four unmarried daughters who had the gift of prophecy. And so here we see a function or a role that women played within the ancient church. And so they were prophesying and praying over people that were within the food pantry. So I think that there's that doctrine that communicates, right, that a woman in authority over a man, we don't see that as an example within the New Testament.
Absolutely. So we see a co-worker.
Yep.
We see deacons.
Yep.
We see people prophesying. We see all this.
Yeah.
We see amazing things happening within the church through women. Amazing things. Everything. We just don't see the government portion.
Right, that's good, yeah.
That's all we don't see. So what are the things that we see? Everything but the government portion. Doctrine. What are we certain that the Bible communicates? A woman in authority over a man. We don't see an example of that in the New Testament. That does not mean that a woman can't preach, teach, and provide pastoral care. We have women connection groups. That is where the majority of pastoral care happens within Bridge City Church. We have coaches who are women. That is a lot of pastoral care. We have women who are worship leaders. That is a ministry, a huge ministry within Bridge City Church. We just don't have elders and pastors.
Or as pastors, I think that's important to define.
As pastors.
That, yeah, in that context. How about the let's look at go to the tennis court of the personal conviction when it comes to
correct
women in ministry. What do you think?
So when Pastor Rick or when I even travel down south, Pastor Natalie, Pastor Rachel, do we sit and talk and say, oh, no. No, it's a personal conviction. Mm-hmm. It's something within their community that takes place.
Right, and we have to be teachable in that.
We have to be teachable, yeah. And we're playing on their court.
Right.
It's a personal conviction to them.
Right.
In somebody else's, Rachel, the first lady, has walked into the place. Rachel's the first lady. And I'm like, I get ready for them to play the presidential march. And it's something that happens. Now, this is doctrine, personal conviction, yeah, and our community standards.
Right, yeah. So I think defining the word pastor, I think that's what needs to be defined in the context of that community standard, right? What are the community standards here at Bridge City Church then? What would you say there?
So I think it's something that we need to make sure that we bring clarity on with that. It's important that the word pastor comes in, right, in defining that. So we don't have women pastors.
Okay.
But yeah, we have women who can preach, teach, and do everything that we've talked about.
Absolutely. And I think that's important. I'm also, one of my functions, one of my roles is as the connection group's director. I get to go and sit in and see some of these magnificent, just anointed women teaching within this. And they do a great job. So I think that's important to have that defined within our context, right? So I think you were right when you said you were talking about that governmental title there. I think that was an important distinction, what we're trying to do that. So at Bridge City, what do we have here?
We have women that have all the blessings of ministry without the burden and authority of government.
Mm. There you go.
Yep. All the blessings without the burden and authority of government. And make sure you hear me. Can women lead, feed, guide, and protect and make and do that? Yes. Can women become everything that God's created them to be? Yes. Without the burden of government.
Absolutely. And how about, let's go to our second question. How do you make a decision? This is great to think about decision making. How do you make a decision about something when God doesn't give you a clear answer and both options align with God's word? That's a great question right there.
This is a question.
Has that ever happened to you? That's...
Every week.
Every week, yeah, that's good. Yeah.
Every week, 52 weeks a year. This is, again, a question that it shows the maturity of a person.
That's good, yeah.
How do I move forward knowing that God is leading me, God is feeding me, God is protecting me, and everything that I'm doing is aligning with God's word, and I just need to know where to go.
Right.
I just need to go. Start with scripture. Strive to be teachable and allow for the Holy Spirit to lead me. And here we go. Go to the scripture. Pray, fast, seek it to hear God's word and his guidelines, his principles, his ways will guide your path. He'll do that. Let's do this. Psalm 119, 105. Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. That's what his word tells us.
That's good, yeah.
His word tells us that he's going to guide us one step at a time. As sheep, we're all sheep, right? He's our shepherd. We want to run. We just want to run 100 miles an hour and go as fast as we possibly can. But he wants the light one step at a time. One step at a time. What's the next thing that we see? Psalm 32:8, the Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. Another scripture, Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. God speaks to us in different ways. Mm-hmm. He speaks to us in totally different ways, and he speaks to us through the Bible. He speaks to us through prayer. He speaks to us through teachings. And here's the thing. Whenever we have a decision to make, he speaks to us through his children. You need to go to trustworthy people in your life.
That's good, yeah.
Whenever you have a decision that needs to be made, you need to go to people that you trust and say, hey, I have this decision about school. I have this decision about work. I have this decision about this new job. I have this decision
about a relationship.
And you need to ask. And one of the things that has really blessed me over my whole entire life, I don't need permission, but I really want a blessing.
That's good, yeah.
And I really want a blessing. And God speaks through others. If you seek him in the word and prayer and through others, you'll find him and his will. And don't pray for things that are not in the Bible. Don't pray for things that are not in the Bible.
Like playing the lottery or something like that.
Yeah, I'm not going to pray for the Powerball numbers. Okay, so Pastor Ben, let's strive to be.
Yeah, that's good. I think that's important. When we're making that, we're thinking about the question. Was about decisions when both options are in God's will. How do we? You know, certainly seeking how others speak to us. I think of like our wives. God speaks through my wife. Yeah. I listen to that. Right?
One's the hardest one because they're always right.
They're always right. Yeah. So you have to be teachable, right? Which takes us to our second part.
Yeah.
How do we remain teachable in this, right? Well, again, we're going to dig into God's word. We're going to read it. We're going to search out answers in God's scripture. We're going to look at two others, wise counsel, pastors, elders, your connection groups, your leaders. You're going to look for other people. But we're going to ask for God's help in these decisions that we're trying to face. But we have to realize that we don't have it all. We don't know everything, right? And so that's why we have to remain teachable. And so how do we do that? We learn from others, you know? For instance, I've been in ministry for over 27 years, right? But
I'm only 28.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Nick. But, you know, I've been here, and as I'm learning the culture here, I have to learn how things function. And so I have to remain teachable. I can't just have, I've got it all together. I've got it all figured out. Don't talk to me. It's never going to work, right? And so when you have decisions to make, you have to be teachable. Say, what is God saying? What is this person saying? What is my husband or spouse saying? So having, and you keep saying that different perspective is such an important part of striving to be teachable and seeking that wise counsel in your lives. I mean, if you're having a decision right now, like, what should I do? There's good things. Well, continue to walk faithfully. Continue to walk obediently.
100%.
You know, and I think this. I think in Proverbs 12:15 says, fools think that their own way is right, but the wise listen to others, right? And so many people will just be prideful, mostly men, right? So I'm just joking. But we act like we have it all together, but we have to be teachable and listen to others, right? If we don't have a godly perspective, we're not going to make the best decision for our lives, right? And so we have to obey God's word. We have to be teachable in that. And, you know, 2 Timothy 2:2 says, you know, you've heard me teach things that have been confirmed by reliable witnesses. This is for our church, right? The founding verse.
The founding scripture.
Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. And so, again, making decisions, this is an important part for us to fully understand God's word, but I'm able to hear counsel from other people, like Pastor Nick. You know, go to him, ask him, hey, what should I do in this decision? There's good options, but when you're truly seeking wise counsel, you'll bear the fruit and have fruit from that. And so what about, submitting to the Holy Spirit,
and that's
Pastor
Nick? When people are vulnerable and saying, I don't know what to do in this decision, that's when we see 2 Timothy 2:2 walked out.
That's good.
Because
yeah.
It gives you the opportunity to pass on what you've gone through.
Right. That's right.
And walk through that. So submitting to the Holy Spirit, it really gives you peace with God. It gives you a peace with God. You might not necessarily have all the information, but when you submit to the Holy Spirit, all the things that you've gathered, all the information that you've gathered, you make the best decision with the information that you have at the time. And you have a peace with God. When you submit everything to God and you say, I'm going to make this decision, and you have a blessing from people in your life, there's a peace that will come about you. And you know that you haven't made that decision alone. There's a peace that will come about you. And then we see Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God about what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. When that peace falls upon you, you know that you're making the best decision and God's in it. That's being guided by the Holy Spirit. And what God's perfect will is. Now, 10 years from now, you may look back and say, I know God was in that. And I know that he was working that whole time. And you have a new perspective because you can look back. God sees all. We get to see one step at a time. And it's so cool to be able to look back.
Absolutely. I think also with God's peace that comes, Paul writes in the book of Romans chapter 12, 1 through 2, it's a you know, famous verse. But when we're thinking about decision making, you know, when we're abiding and seeking and walking in faithfulness, there's that peace that comes. But I also think that it's when you're in God's peace, you're also striving to know God's will. Have you ever asked what's God's will for my life? I know as a pastor, I'm sure you've heard a lot of people were like, what is God's will for my life? Well, and Paul writes in Romans 12, it says, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you, give your bodies to God because all he has done, let them be living in holy sacrifice, the kind of that we will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him, or your acceptable act of worship. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but let God transform your mind into a new person by changing the way you think, right? And then you will learn, this is what I want you to hear for this, then you will learn how to know God's will for your life. Listen how he describes God's will. This is important when you're making decisions or you're talking about prayer. Listen how he talks about God's will. And we know the character of God is good and he's loving, he's a father.
Yeah.
His will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. And so when we're looking for decisions, we're seeking his will, we're praying, we're seeking options, we're going to scripture, we're submitting our lives. That's when we're in the will of God.
Right.
That's when we're in the will of God. So offering our bodies, not conforming to the pattern of the world, right? So many people are gone the ways of the world. And that's what we're trying to do with this series, is help people to have a grid in which they can live their lives and ask questions and teach their children. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So it's a faith-seeking understanding with that.
And a great quote, and this question, parents are going to ask it all the time. How do I make the right decision for my kids? When the decision lines up with the Bible, a great quote from Pastor Rick is, don't worry about making a perfect decision. Just make a clear one.
That's good. I like that.
You're not going to make a perfect decision for your kids every single time, but just make a clear one. And take wise counsel from parents that have gone before you. So let's go to our third question and our final question for the day. And this is one that I want us to talk about in our connection groups this week. I want us to talk about after today because we don't have a lot of time left today. But how do you handle unanswered prayers? The Bible says lots of things about prayer, but how do you deal with it when it's not answered? Give us your thoughts here about how we handle this. So, Pastor Ben?
Yeah, I think this is a big one. I think this is a lot. A question that has a lot to do with the longevity or the perseverance of one's faith. A lot of times, you can think about it. Maybe you've asked God for something and you felt that prayer has gone answered. I know that we've had conversations this week and that's true, right? But when we pray for something, right, you know, we don't pray for something that's against or contradicting God's will. But when we pray for something, we want to pray for God's will for our lives. And we think about unanswered prayer. You know, in my own life, I know that, you know, God has always answered my prayers. He's either said yes, no, or wait, right? And so that unanswered feeling that we're feeling.
So wait a second. So that means every prayer is answered.
Every prayer is answered, right. Yeah, that's a different way to look at it. But it could be yes, it could be no, and it could be not yet or wait.
Or hold on.
Or hold on or whatever that is.
How many times have you said that to your kids?
A lot.
Hold on.
Hold on a second. Yeah, right. And so I think it's important. So this is one that speaks about our development and our maturity, right? And then one of the thoughts we had is that we don't believe that you can truly trust that God is good, right? And that's what answered prayer is dealing with. That the issue is God good? Will He do what He says He's going to do? Is Scripture going to, you know, follow through what it's promising, right? But we won't know that God is truly good until we ask Him for something and we don't get it, but we can still recognize that God is good. Right? And that's what we have to come to, is when you have your prayers unanswered, do you still see your Heavenly Father is good? And I think that's an important part for us to think about, unanswered prayer. Maybe you're sitting here this morning where your prayers have gone unanswered. I know I that's happened to me many times, but I know God is there. So as we start with Scripture, you know, that it's an important part for us to process, you know, define what it means to be unanswered prayer. And again, I think it's that disappointment factor that comes with
Absolutely.
It, right? And so as we're thinking about unanswered prayer, we're trying to find His good, pleasing, and perfect will, that we're not alone, right? And I think that's what it is. And so, I don't know, that's what I have there.
Absolutely. And we have to remember that through our struggles, through our time of waiting, no matter what, God can be trusted. God can be trusted. And I have a truckload of prayers. I have a truckload of prophecies that have been spoken over my life, my marriage, my family. And I'm holding on to all of them. Every single one of them. 3.5 years of an infection, finally healed. I didn't know if I was going to share this today. 12 years as a diabetic. Some of you never knew that. This Wednesday, told that I'm in diabetic remission.
Amen.
That was a 12-year prayer. Now, there was God's part. There was His kingdom's part. And there was my part. That's an answered prayer. You know what He said 12 years ago? Hold on. Wait. It wasn't yes right away. Mm-hmm. But He was trusted through all of it. And through that waiting, that's where we need to seek to be teachable.
Right. And I think, you know, just to go back just a sec, like the biblical example that we have is of when we ask about unanswered prayer. Think about this, and it reminds me of your story so much. If you think about the Apostle Paul, the man that wrote 3/4 of the New Testament, missionary, leader of the church, he prayed, he talked about a thorn in his flesh. He asked God to remove it, and He wouldn't do it. God said, not yet, but He did it as a reminder to rely on God, right? And so much of your story has been this relying on God, and I think that's to be commended, and it doesn't make sense all the time, does it?
No,
you know,
it doesn't.
As Paul prayed for that earnestly. The Apostle Paul, right? And you think about us just as two normal guys, two pastors, that we have our own struggles. And,
absolutely.
And 100%. So there's a biblical example. And like you said, to be teachable, and I think it's, you know, how we handle and respond to unanswered prayer matters to God, right? How will we be teachable? Will we respond with perseverance, or will we give up? And I think so many people are willing to give up when their prayers are unanswered. They just don't know. They just give up. And they question God, and they feel abandoned, and they feel doubts. Maybe you felt that way before, but that's what it is. And there's sometimes there's reasons that could be the reasons that our prayers are unanswered. It could be unconfessed sin that we have. Maybe we're dealing with something that we're to confess and get that out and put it at the foot of the cross and confess that sin to God. The second one, I would say, Pastor Nick, would be pride. You know, how many times have people have just this issue of pride, and that is contrary to what God. God does not bless that, right? Yeah. He won't bless that. And then, again, like you mentioned, we ask for selfish purposes about things, and sometimes that gets away of us being teachable and moving forward in our faith. And, you know, it's good to wrestle with those unanswered prayer, but until we deal with those things, it's hard. And again, I think it's relinquishing the control we have on our lives. That we're with one hand, we're gripping and holding on tight, and the other saying, God, have your way. And we're holding on all the whole time, right? And so it's this relinquishing control. When we're teachable, we're going to let go. We're going to let God, as you said, right? We're going to let go and let God. But it is really about the control issue.
And I'm a perspective guy.
Yeah.
And all we talked about this week. Whenever we're going through this, it's asking the question, not asking the question, God, why are you doing this? And asking the question, God, what are you doing?
Right, that's good.
And that's when we can go through that, okay, what is this sin I can get rid of? What is this? Maybe there is some pride that needs to go. Maybe there is some selfishness that I'm asking for.
Yeah, absolutely.
And here we go. How can we rely on the Holy Spirit?
Right, absolutely. And I think, you know, relying on the Holy Spirit, again, this is the, you know, we understand what the Bible says. We're being teachable, but then the submitting to the Holy Spirit is actually living it out, doing the stuff, what God is saying, and the Holy Spirit is going to power and equip us, right? So one of the ways we can do is we can persevere, not give up, keep going when it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
To live in the mystery, the kind of the gray areas of life, that we continue to persevere. You've got to do that. It's the older you get, the more question you have, a lot of things go into it, it doesn't make sense. We may not know this side of eternity, but one day we know that our Redeemer lives. Amen. And we're going to be renewed. And
yes.
So things will happen. The next thing I would say is praying without ceasing, right? Continue praying in the car, praying in the shower, praying when your kids aren't bugging you, right? You're praying without ceasing helps you to submit to the Holy Spirit. That's showing you're reaching out and understanding you can't do it on your own. And again, I think it's this big thing that, you know, Pastor Rick is always, he's talking to us at staff, is stepping out in faith. Are we a people that are going to live in faith and do things in faith? When we submit to the Holy Spirit, that's a big step of faith in our lives. We can do that. Putting our faith in that God is good, that he's loving, he's caring, and he's just. And a lot of times it's that control thing. We interpret things that happen to us, unanswered prayer, through the lens of the world, and that's just not who God is. And so God responds to faith, not need.
Yes.
God responds to faith, not need. And so I think that's what God is looking for. He's looking for people that will be shaped and submitted to the Holy Spirit. They're going to walk in his ways. Even when it doesn't make sense, they're going to be submitted to the Holy Spirit in our unanswered prayer. And believe me, I unanswered prayers are tough, but I can tell you this, that's the ground, that's the fertile soil where we begin to grow and we need to be shaped into the men and women God calls us to be. So that's some suggestions, I would say, for that unanswered prayer piece. But it does help us. It really does help us to continue on. And I know we just did a whole thing on prayer, but it makes the difference of someone that continues to walk as a fully devoted follower and one who rejects and just kind of gives up because of the pain, because of the feeling of abandonment that they go through.
Amen. And just maybe, in that season of waiting, God's using it to draw you closer to him. Because I know that every prayer will be answered. Because I know that where we're going, if we know Jesus as our Lord and our Savior and our Redeemer, our leader, there is no sickness, there is no disease, there is no depression, there is no anxiety, there is no addiction, there is no fear. There's no condemnation. And as we draw close to God, our perspective changes. And we stop living for here and now, and we start living for eternity. And I just want you to bow your heads. Close your eyes, and I'm going to read a verse to you. I believe there's just so much power as we just have the Word of God read over our lives and read to us. and it's James 1:12. And it says, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. I want to talk about the crown of life for a moment. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You receive that crown of life when you've received what Jesus Christ did on the cross for you. When you have had that moment where you've repented of your past and received the forgiveness that Jesus Christ provides for you by the body that was given and the blood that was shed on the cross. And listen to my words. I don't care how long you've been sitting in church. I don't care if you grew up here. If you grew up going to church with your aunt, with your grandma, with your cousin, with your mom, with your dad, their faith didn't become yours unless you had a moment with Jesus. And I want to remove all shame, all condemnation, all fear about what somebody may think of you because of how old you are or how long you've been here. If you don't have a moment where you have responded to the gospel of Jesus, I want today to be your day, April 23rd, 2023. And I want you to do the bravest thing you've ever done. And that just slipped your hand up to heaven and say, Jesus, that's me today. I don't have that day. I don't have that time. I don't have that moment where I've received that crown of life, where I know that I am going to receive what you've promised me. So if that's you today, just slip your hand up to heaven so that we can pray with you. We can encourage you. We can equip you. Anyone at all today. All fear removed. Thank you, Jesus. Anyone else today? Anyone else today? As heaven rejoices. Thank you, Lord. Father God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for who we get to be because of you. We rejoice with heaven right now. Lord, we thank you for your answers. We thank you for your word. We thank you that we get to walk in faith. In Jesus' name, amen.